Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. You may not believe this, but according to local experts, there are summer jobs out there. Lots of them. That's what you're going to hear in this next interview. The trick is how students go about it. That's where these specialists at Watton Employment come in. In this interview, you will hear about the local job market. You will learn some basics around finding a summer job. But best of all, you will get some great advice, tips, and hacks to landing a position. Have a listen and see if you can improve your chances of getting a summer job. I'm so pleased to have with me today two people from Watton Employment Services. I have Donna Pinch, the Employer Services Manager, and Becky Huth, Employment Services Manager in Coburg. Welcome to you both to Consider This Northumberland.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yes.
Let's start with an overview. Donna, how would you describe the summer job market for young people this year?
Well, I think the job market this year is challenging, but there's a lot of years that it is challenging for youth. The main thing that, the youth need to be aware of, there are lots of jobs out there. So number one, do not get discouraged and keep at it because, there are lots of youth that do get jobs. Don't listen to the numbers and just focus on yourself.
Becky, when we are talking about summer job market, what age range are we looking at? Who are we talking about?
So typically for the summer job market, we're talking about age ranges of 15 to 30. Many of the government programs that are for youth do include up to the age of 30.
That's quite unusual. I'm quite surprised by that. How come to the age of 30? Normally you would think of university students being in their 20s. Talk a bit about why that is.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good question. I have just for a number of years, it used to be specifically more so for individuals that were in college or university, or as well potentially high school, but they have extended it to include individuals in their 20s that are considered youth and perhaps having a little more difficulty connecting to the labor market. Donna, do you have anything to add on that?
Yeah, I think you're right a little bit, Robert, that you're thinking of those that are, coming out of their college years or taking their college or university years. This day and age, some programs take a little longer to achieve. Some, youth, which the ministry looks at youth as under 30. They've finished school maybe, and now they're looking to, connect with that labor market, or they're not quite sure, what avenue they do want to go down with the degree that they do have, or it's just somebody that, is unsure, has been tried many different types of jobs over the last 10 years. And they're really looking to, just disconnect for, the summer, and they're trying out different things to see where do they want to take their future, their career.
Becky, mm-hmm. It sounds normally or traditionally like there are two cohorts, that there are university students that begin looking for jobs, usually at the end of their semester in April or May, and then there's high school students. Can you describe each of these and the various challenges each one faces when applying for summer jobs?
That's a really good question. I think one of the particular challenges that high school individuals tend to face is that They're often coming to the labor market a little bit later in the season because the college and university students have already wrapped up, typically a month or two prior to those high school students, and the high school students have less experience. So they're often coming to the labor market with less skills, or maybe, you know, maybe looking at getting their first job in the labor market. So that brings its own set of challenges. Now for the college and university students, I think one of the difficulties there is that they're often trying, if possible, to obtain summer work that is at least somewhat in line with their long-term career goals to build on their skills and experience and get a taste for the different opportunities and avenues they may want to go once they're completing their schooling. So going through very similar situations, but having their own sets of struggles.
Donna, how does the number of summer jobs available compare to last year? You said there are jobs, but I understand that there was a 22% decrease in job postings in 2025 compared to the year before. And I guess I'm wondering, is that trend continuing this year?
I mean, it's hard to say because the labor market, some of the stats that we receive are overall, they're not regional, they're not even focused on Northumberland, they're more overall Ontario, which can vary. I mean, it's different if you're in Toronto than if you're in Northumberland. You know, I mean, I can't say, to be honest, you know, if there's more or less this year, because we're getting into that time where, like Becky said, you know, some of the college students will already have secured employment, and now it's time to hire the high schools. And we are reaching out to employers very shortly here to see if they are, you know, going to be hiring more for the high school student age, for once they're at a work at, or at a school at the end of June, what's going to be the opportunities for them?
Can you just explain a little bit more about that process? You mentioned you actually reach out to employers. Tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, we part of my job is we have hundreds of employers that we connect with all the time. We offer things like job fairs, job postings. Part of what Watton does here, and which is a great resource for anyone looking for work, is we try to match those job seekers up with employers that are looking for people. So, you know, we are making sure that, you know, we have our eyes and ears out in the community as often as we can. And, you know, to see how are they making out in their hiring? Can we offer, sometimes we do job fairs. We can do, you know, job matches for those that come in. They come in and they actually meet with them. An employment counselor here to find out what are their goals, what are they looking for? And then when we have an employer looking for someone with those goals, with, you know, we can then match it up and we just send the information to the job seeker, encourage them to apply.
Now, Becky, what kind of jobs are available this year?
That's a very good question. There's really a wide variety of positions that we are seeing. Typical employers that you will see receiving funding for summer students include the local municipalities and the towns, for example, where we'll hire for a number of different positions, supporting, you know, parks and rec and administrative positions or things of that nature. And then as well, some of the manufacturers will have summer positions. As you know, a lot of Northumberland definitely thrives in its hospitality. So we'll see a lot of postings geared towards that as well. So it's really a wide variety of positions that we're seeing out there.
I saw a report that said that there's been a decline in the traditional summer jobs like camp counselors or lifeguards and the such. Are there any particular developments or patterns that you're noticing this year?
Not that I have noticed. I honestly don't think in our area that there's necessarily less positions in those opportunities. I do think perhaps there's a bit more competition, with the rising cost of living, perhaps more students or youth that in the past would have maybe just stepped away from the labor market are looking for work and trying to support themselves a little bit more. So I think it's not necessarily a lack of opportunity, just that there's a bit more competition.
Donna, what factors are influencing the types of summer jobs available this year? I mean, we're living in a really unusual time. There's a lot of chaos. There's the gas prices, there's economic pressures, that kind of thing. What sort of things do you see locally that are impacting the availability of summer jobs this year?
Again, as Becky would say, that is a great question. I mean, we're not seeing a huge decrease in the number of jobs at all. What we see is we have the even though they're seasonal jobs, you'll have people that are not students that are applying to those. So because the just the way the labor market is in itself is typically your landscaping position, your again hospitality, those were very student oriented, and now you have people that are outside of that, over 30 that are applying for these jobs, to get them through as well, and sometimes as a secondary job. So, again, you said with the cost of living, so, and like Becky said, a lot more competition because you have not only the students, but you have other people looking to apply as well.
Becky, I want to come back to this idea of the competitive nature of summer jobs. Donna's pointed out a really interesting dynamic between people who are not students looking for employment and taking some of these jobs. But I just wonder, in terms of the competitive nature of summer students' jobs, and can you give us some examples of the kinds of dynamics that are taking place as the various students apply and compete for the jobs.
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely hearing from more employers that they're getting even more applicants for the same positions. So it's really key for job seekers, whether youth or otherwise, to ensure that they are marketing themselves to the best of their ability, and focusing on what they bring to the employer and specifically connecting it to what the employer is looking for to help stand apart from some of that competition.
And one of the main things, I'm just going to jump in here for a minute. One of the main things we hear from employers, regardless again, whether it's students or whether it's any, any other job seeker, they are really looking for reliability. So that is so important for the job seeker to put across that they're going to be reliable. They are going to show up for the job every day, because, in the long and short of it, the employer has a job that needs to be done. And if you're the chosen candidate, they don't need somebody that, isn't there on a regular basis or isn't there on time. So they really need to emphasize that they are going to be reliable.
Donna, last year more than 75,000 young people found jobs through the Federal Canada Summer Jobs Program. Can you tell us what that is and how it works?
Well, I can give you a brief overview. The Canada Summer Jobs is actually a federal program, and we don't we're not really involved with a lot of that here, except what we do do is we do help employers post for those positions. So again, it used to be only for those that are in school, but now it is for anybody under the age of 30. So we recommend that the any job seeker goes to, Canada Summer Jobs on Canada.ca, or the Job Bank and under Youth and look for particular jobs that are available. It is a specific funding that the employer applies for and gets selected to have these people there for a certain number of weeks over the summer season. So it is not a case where those that are over 30 can apply to these jobs. That's the mandate, is they do have to be under 30 to apply for those. But there's many out there. And again, that's something that we can do here. If you know, job seekers come into Watt, and if the youth come in here, we can connect them with those sites and those opportunities so they can apply as well.
Are there any other programs to support hiring young people during the summer months?
Not that I know of at the moment. There isn't. Through the years, there have been various youth programs, but at the moment, there are not you know, those incentives for an employer to hire a youth or to give youth that opportunity.
Becky, last month there was a story on CBC telling the tale of one university student who applied to 100 companies without getting a call back. How typical is this?
This is something we are hearing. I wouldn't say necessarily that I've been hearing of similar stories from the youth that I've spoken to, but that is a common story that we hear with job seekers in general. And I think part of the cause of that is that we see a lot of job seekers taking more of a passive approach to their job search. It's not uncommon for individuals to just have a one-size-fits-all resume and just go on one of the more popular job search sites and just be swiping through apply, apply, apply. So perhaps they are submitting so many applications, but the quality is not there to help them stand out. So they're not taking the time to really make a targeted application. So unfortunately, until individuals realize that yes, you need to put the time and the energy in to be gearing your resume to the posting, writing a solid cover letter, going to the actual job or employer site, or reaching out to them directly versus just going on that popular online portal. They're going to really have difficulty standing apart and making it to that interview process.
What should students expect when they're applying for jobs when it comes to submitting an application and getting a response? So let's say I did everything you just recommended. How long should I wait for a response and what should I do?
It's so hard to say because it depends on the employer. Some employers are very slow moving with their hiring process, and others, you know, are calling applicants right away as soon as they're coming in the door. One thing I would suggest is to try not to get discouraged. If, you know, if it's been a couple of weeks and you haven't heard anything, try not to get too discouraged. It doesn't hurt to do a follow-up, you know, maybe within a week or so, just reaching out to confirm they received your application and reiterating your interest. However, typically I wouldn't necessarily go further than that. I find individuals either are very passive and don't follow up at all, or maybe swing the other way and are maybe a little too assertive with their follow-up. So it's really a fine line of trying to let the employer know that you're very interested and engaged without pestering them. Donna, do you have anything to add on that from the employer side?
You know, you're right. It really varies as per employer, but again, that's what Wattens is here for. So we can help with that. So if they're having challenges, if they're unsure, if they're, you know, should I follow up? Shouldn't I follow up? I've done this, I've done that. What can I do? And that's where we can advise them on something that might help them stand out. That, you know, we can also sometimes do employer outreach to see, you know, are they still hiring? Have they made a decision to kind of put their mind at ease a little bit one way or the other? And don't put all your eggs in one basket. So don't, you know, as you said, some people will apply to 100 different jobs and not get a call back. You don't want to do the reverse neither. You don't want to apply to two or three and then sit back and think, oh, I'm just perfect for that and I'm going to get the job. You need to continue to be proactive in that, and you know, continue that search. Don't even if you've had an interview, If you had an interview and you haven't heard back yet, don't sit back on your, you know, because weeks could go by, and you know, and you don't know the outcome. And meanwhile, you could have gotten a job somewhere else. So, again, that's where you know, come in and see us if you have any questions whatsoever. We're up Monday to Friday, 8:30 to 4:30. So at any point in time, just come in and talk to somebody here.
Becky, we've talked a little bit about many avenues to finding a job. We've talked about the services that your organization offers. We've talked about online, and I know that there's a job board that people can go to. Are there any other methods or places that people can go to look for a job, or any other strategies that they could use to maybe find a job?
Absolutely. As I mentioned previously, I think one of the unfortunate pieces that a lot of people have kind of fallen into is that more passive job search approach of, you know, sitting at home looking online at the various job search sites. But one thing that we know, and that hasn't really changed over the years, is that 80% of the jobs out there are not publicly advertised. So tapping into your network is key. Making sure that everyone and anyone you know, whether it's friends, teachers, family, neighbors, let them know that you're looking, let them know what you're looking for. Because so many of those positions are not advertised publicly. A lot of it is through networking. And then also doing cold applications. You know, we do hear from a lot of the organization, especially the larger organizations, they prefer those applications online. But you can still conduct cold applications, whether that's going in person to drop off a resume or even going directly to the company site and looking up email address for HR or whoever might be in charge of hiring and forwarding a resume that way. You have a much better chance of standing out versus waiting until there's a job posted and you're then competing with hundreds of applicants.
Donna, we've talked about a lot of good ways that people can do this and all the various strategies, but how about preparing for an interview? Things like appearance. Do you have any tips for success?
Well, the number one thing I can say is you need to dress for success. So if you are taking advantage of, like Becky said, you're going to drop your resume off in person, you're going to walk into that, you know, that restaurant or whatever it happens to be. You want to make sure that you are dressed ready for an interview. We hear from employers that say, you know, I had somebody show up with their, you know, their Crocs and a pair of, you know, pajama pants and a hoodie and drop a resume off. And you know, that's not what we want for our customers. And they said, so the resume just went into the garbage. So you need to be presentable at all times because that's very important. But we can definitely, again, help with you know, some interview prep. We have opportunities and lots of hints for them as well. And again, you know, if you think about an interview and people get very nervous about them, there should be a little bit of nerves, but you know, you need to understand that they're just trying to get to know you a little bit and what you offer. And then you're trying to understand what they're looking for as well. So it just needs to be that conversation. But yeah, you definitely want to be prepared. Go to the employer site. If you get called for an interview, you want to know about the employer themselves. And you know, you want to always be one on time, you want to have a smile, and you want to really let them know that you are going to be reliable. And you know, if you're talking about a high school student that doesn't have any experience, an employer's not going to expect you to have experience when you go for the interview. So again, you just need to say what you can do for them.
We've talked about a lot of different aspects of applying for summer jobs, but what other factors should students consider when applying for a job that we haven't talked about yet?
You know, something that job seekers need to understand too is you may not be applying for your dream job. You need to, you know, realize that the job that you're getting is going to give you skills that you're going to be able to use in the future that's going to get you your dream job. We see people that come in here that say, well, I want to be an apprentice somewhere. Get me, you know, can you help me get a job as an apprentice? But they need to understand that employers are going to hire you first. in a general type of job to make sure that you are reliable, that you are teachable, that you are somebody that they're willing to invest in. And students need to realize that as well. They may be going to school for whatever, and if they're not finding something in that field, there are lots of transferable skills that they can gain from other employment. So they need to remember that. I remember and I can't remember the Fortune 500 company, but I remember somebody said, yeah, we get resumes from Harvard grads that were at the top of their class. They've been in school for, you know, some of them, you know, half a dozen years. They're wonderful marks. Never ever worked in their life, and they say we throw those resumes right out. We don't want to be teaching people about the working world at that stage. We want them to come in when they are in high school to get a job, to learn about how the working world exists. So, you know, getting that beginner job is so valuable. So do everything that you can to try to set yourself up for that. And if it's not a job that you really, you know, think that you're going to like, it's a summer job. It's going to get you those skills. It's going to get you those transferable skills. It's going to look really good on a resume that you have been working. So that's a tip that I would pass on.
Absolutely. And even just the learning experience of just learning more about yourself and what you like and dislike, because oftentimes we think we are only going to like, you know, a position in this field. We get stuck in a position in this field and we end up loving it. We learn about ourselves and maybe it helps direct the path that we go towards. And like Donna said, the building those transferable skills is just so valuable as well.
Donna, many companies are using artificial intelligence and other tools to sort through resumes and applications. Is there any advice for students to help their chances of being picked?
Well, and that's a tough one. For any company that has 25 or more employees, they have to actually identify in their job posting that they are using AI as at any part of the job selection process. So that is something that they do have to do. If you are, you know, like Becky said earlier, if you're trying to stand out, don't apply, you know, from one of those, you know, sites. Go to that company and go to their, you know, to see what kind of careers they have on their site and apply that way, because that's going to help you stand out a little bit. Use the term in your resume. Again, you don't want to have one resume for just every job you apply to. Use the terms that is in the job posting itself, because if they are using AI, if they're, let's say the job posting has, oh, you know, you need to know MS Office. But you have instead, Word, PowerPoint, you know, Excel in yours, even though it's the same thing, you need to use the terminology that they're using in that job post so that that bot's going to help pick up those words or your cover letter. So, again, that's something that, you know, we can help with. But that's a, you know, a really key point if they are using AI is to use that same terminology.
Becky, what alternatives are there for students who cannot find traditional jobs? What things might you suggest they do?
For any individual that is having difficulty finding a more traditional job, one of the things that I do suggest is getting connected to an Employment Ontario service provider to just get assistance with your job searching and self-marketing strategies to ensure that you are putting your best foot forward with employers. But then also, if individuals are open to exploring, let's say, entrepreneurial opportunities or creating their own opportunities, we have some great organizations that can support with that as well.
Mm-hmm. And volunteering, if yes. whether you know, it's while you're working at the same time, volunteering can be a great asset.
Absolutely.
Donna, how can parents, family, and friends help students? Do you have any tips for parents?
Be supportive. Be supportive. You want to be positive. The job market is certainly different than when I was that age, that's for sure. But, you know, and listen to what they're looking for. And what their friends are looking for, where do they work? Is there opportunities that they could, you know, maybe make a suggestion for either their child or a friend or somebody else? again, their network. So not only the job seekers network, but the parents network. So do they have any friends that are in that particular business that they might be able to, you know, make a suggestion that this job seeker reach out to? And again, have the job seeker do it, not the parent. So a lot of times we see the parents that are so involved that they have to realize that, you know, they're not the ones that are going to do this job. They're not the ones that will be going to work. So it's best to teach them those skills right off the hop.
Becky, if you were sitting down across from a student right now, what advice would you give them?
The main advice that I would give them is to stay positive. And it's so difficult when you are job searching to stay positive, but it's important to focus on yourself and the strengths that you bring to whatever position you're applying for, and realize that it's not personal. You know, if you are having difficulties getting through, it's not that there is something wrong with you or that you're lacking. It's just that it is a competitive market. So utilize any and every option you have for support, whether that be, you know, friends or family, or the Employment Ontario services that are available, even going online. There's lots of great free resources. So really just try to utilize as many different avenues as you can with your job search, and to try to stay positive and support yourself with supportive people.
Donna Pinch, Becky Huth, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you so much for having us.
That was Donna Pinch, Employment Services Manager, and Becky Huth, Employment Services Manager in Cobourg from Watton Employment Services. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.